Good.
Parshas Re'eh is chock full of halachas, especially about kashrus laws. And I think one of the dimensions of the kashrus laws is nemanus. You know, who's trusted on kashrus? And we have, of course, mashgichim. And the question is, can any Jew qualify as a mashgiach so that we could be somech on him, we could rely on him for kashrus laws? Basically, the rule of thumb is, and we'll see this is established in the Gemara Gittin at the very beginning of the Masechta, that's the first source on your page, Eid Echad Neman B'Isurim. We can rely on the testimony of one Eid with regard to Isur. It means we don't need Eidus. Eidus, the Torah requires two witnesses. We need Nemanus. And Nemanus is even one Eid has Nemanus. However, the real question is, what's the source for this principle, Eid Echad Nem B'Isurim? Where do we find it in the Torah? The Torah tells us that to clarify reality, we need two witnesses. Where does the Torah indicate that one witness is sufficient? Now, before we get into that, we have to introduce another concept that's very fundamental, and that is ischazik isura. In order to break up a chazaka, the assumption until this point was that we had isur. Now you want to change the status of something from isur to heter. That change of status, which is against the chazaka, might require two edim. The classical case would be gerushin. You need two edim to testify at a married woman that she received her divorce. Why? Because she has a cheskas isur eshesish. And against the cheskas isur eshesish, one witness is not sufficient. We need two edim. Another case that we could discuss would be the case of Bidikas Chametz. There, the Cheskas Isur is only Derabbanan, meaning until I know for a fact that the Chametz was removed from the house, the Chazaka is that it hasn't yet been removed from the house, but that's only on a Derabbanan level because the Gemara says, Midaraisa Bitul Bial Masagi. So we really, on a Torah level, we don't need to get rid of the Chametz. All I have to do is Mivatal the Chametz. The Rabbanan required Bidika. And now, we know that the house wasn't checked until proven otherwise, and maybe for that we need a full-fledged testimony, which means two witnesses, and nemanus is not enough. One of the issues that comes up in kashrus laws, can we take a foodstuff, and we're not sure exactly what might have been mixed into that foodstuff, and send it to a laboratory, a non-Jewish laboratory, you know, it's not a Jewish lab consultant, and he's going to tell us whether it's kosher or not. Can we rely on his testimony? We have a Gemara Chulin that we want to look at about Kfela, a non-Jewish chef who tastes the food and tells you that there's no taste of milk in the meat, and we rely on him. Then there's another issue here that we want to touch on today. I'm just giving you a little bit of an overview and then we'll get started. And that's called biyado. Biyado is a special category of nemanus where a person is believed because it's in their hands to change the reality from isur to heter. For example, in Afrashas Trumas and Maestros, it was Tevel, certainly had a cheskas isur, but I have the ability to be mafresh. Can I be believed against the cheskas isur based on biyado? This nemanus of biyado, by the way, applies even in dine mamonos, where usually we need absolute strict two witnesses to take money out of the muchzak's hands. Nothing less will do, but there is a concept called biyado, or a shlish. Let's say you give over a shtar to the hands of a third party, and that third party is believed. Then we have the question of a chaya. A chaya is a woman who is in charge of overseeing the birth of a child. And we're going to soon see that for some unknown reason, which we have to figure out why, that woman has a special status of nemanus. She can tell us that this baby was born to so-and-so, and as a result we have repercussions for Dinei, for Dover Sheba Erva, we have repercussions for Kahuna, Levia, and so forth and so on. One of the classical cases of kashrus laws is what we call Bedikas Toloyim. We know something has bugs in it, we have reason to believe it's Muhsak B'Toloyim. Somebody comes along and says, well, I did a Bedikas Toloyim, and I checked, and I removed all Toloyim. Now, who's believed in such a case? Now, with regard to the status of a woman in Eidus, the Torah says, Anoshim, we need men and not Noshim. What about Eidach and Nem Bisurin? In Eidach and Nem Bisurin, we're talking about a brand new category of Nemanus. We're not talking about Eidus. And there's room to argue that a woman should be believed. We're going to soon see that Rashi in Gittin says that the source for Eidach and Nem Bisurin is V'Safra La, that a woman counts Zayin Nikiyim, and based on her testimony that she passed the Zayin Nikiyim, we assume that she's Muteris. That's a fascinating case. For two reasons. First of all, because it's a woman who's being believed. And second of all, she had a Cheskas Iser. We know that she had the status of a Zava, which is an Iser Kares, and now she tells me she's no longer a Zava. Now, if that becomes the source for Eidach and Bisurin, then again we have to come back to that fundamental distinction between Eidus and Nemanus. How could a woman be believed? And the answer is because for this case we don't need Eidus, we only need Nemanus. Now, why do we only need Nemanus? The answer is it's not a Dover Sheba Mamon, it's not a Dover Sheba Erva. The two prime cases of Al Pishnayim, Eidim Yakum Dover, are number one, monetary cases where we need full-fledged Eidus with all the conditions, and number two, Erva. Erva is also called an Ervas Dover. So we have a Hekesh, a Gzer Shav of Dover, Dover Mi Mamon. And both in monetary cases, Lahotzi Mamon Miyad Hamuchsak, and in Erva cases, to establish that a woman received her get and now she's allowed to get married, we need two Eidim. But in the case of a Zava, we're not dealing with Erva. We know that she's a Zava today, and then tomorrow she's no longer a Zava if she counts Zayin Nikiyim. That's a Dover Sheba Isur as opposed to a Dover Sheba Mamon, as opposed to a Dover Sheba Erva. So when we get into the territory of Isurim, we have to put all our efforts, all our energy into studying the principle of Eid Echad Neman B'Isurim. Now, if a woman in fact is believed in Eid Echad B'Isurim, then we have another question. Number one, can a woman testify that she did the bedika on her house? And again, would we say that Eid Echad Nem Bisurin, to establish that the house is baduk, we can trust the woman? Number two, can a woman be trusted to say, I checked for bugs, bedikas toloim, and I found no bugs? And number three, which is the most fascinating question, is can a woman serve as a mashgiach kashrus? Because if you assume Eid Echad Nem Bisurin and the mashgiach kashrus are in charge of Isur and nothing more, then presumably, what should be the problem of appointing a woman as a mashgiach kashrus, about which the Shon Halacha says chas v'shalom? But the question is, why chas v'shalom? What's the basis for that Isur? So to begin our discussion, we start at the beginning of Gittin on Daf Beis Amid Beis. That's your first source. And the Gemara establishes Eid Echad Neman v'Isur. Says Rashi, Sharei Hemina Torah Kol Echad v'Echad v'Yisrael Al Afroshas Truma V'Al Ashkita V'Al Nikra Gid V'Hachelev. Rashi gives a long list of cases in which the Torah believes on any individual. And it's interesting that Rashi says, "Kol echad v'echad miyisrael," possibly coming to include even an isha. And he talks about afrashas truma. He talks about shchita, nikra gid. He talks about chelev. But Rashi, I think, adds another element in Masechta Yevamos, which you'll see is the second source on your page, and that's the Gemara in the sixth perek, in the tenth perek, Ha'isha Rabba. That's pei ches. And there Rashi says, Vaha vadai pshitalon disamchinon aleha. it's absolutely clear that we rely upon her. Now, it could be that he's talking about Eid Echad Neman Bisurin here, but anyway, Rashi says Pshita that we have to rely on Eid Echad Bisurin, calls man Shalom Nechshad, unless we come up with a certain specific reason why there should be a chashash sheker. Di Lavach, he says, if you don't rely on the testimony of one person, Hare, he says, Ein lecha adam ochel bishal chavero, v'ein lecha adam somech al b'nei beso. Rashi says, how can you eat in someone else's house? How can you eat in your own house? There's got to be Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. And all this is Rashi l'shitaso, that in so many different areas of halacha, we rely on the testimony of Eid Echad. However, now I want you to, if you can, fast forward to page... Okay, now I'm not finding it, because so much here, I can never find it when I need it. In any event, there's a Gemara in Masechta Chulin. So I can't find it now on your page. Oh, you know what? The reason why he didn't bother printing the Gemara in Masechta Chulin is because if you take a look in Gittin, then on the side of the page is something called Likute Rashi. You see that on the top, on the right, all the way on the right side. So in Likute Rashi, in Masechta Gittin, he writes, "Dechol Yochid V'Yochid Heminaso Torah." And he quotes the pasuk "Vizavachta mibkarcha umitzonacha." And here Rashi seems to indicate that the source for Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, that the Torah believes every individual regarding Isur, is the parsha of Shechita. So we have one Rashi that indicates that it is the parsha of Vesafala, as we said before. And you take a look at Tosus and Gittin, Dibra Maskil Eid Echad, which you'll see on the bottom of the first source. He says, "Pirusha Kuntshe Hemina Torah Kol Echad V'Echad Afrashes Truma Ushchita V'Nikra Ged Give V'Chelev." And then we saw that Rashi and Chulin also says that the Torah relies on the testimony of one aid with regard to Shechita. This is not like the Rashi that we saw in Yevamos. Rashi in Yevamos says, "Ein lecha adam ochel mishal chaver, ein lecha adam ochel somech al beso." Rashi says that it's impossible, but he doesn't quote a specific pasuk that indicates that Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. The Rashi in Chulin, on the other hand, says, "Shenemar v'zavachta," and we believe the Shochet to tell us that this is a Shechita Kshera, or for example in Beis HaMikdash we believe the Shochet and now the Kohanim are allowed to eat the meat. Okay then? Tosus on the other hand says Eid Echad Neman Bisurin is derived from the Pasuk V'Safala. So we have now all told three different possible answers to the question, what is the source for the principle of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin? One answer is, according to Rashi, the Torah believes Eid Echad in the parsha of Hafrashas Truma and Shechita and Nikra Gid and Chelev. The other answer is that Rashi says in the Masechta Yevamos that we believe Eid Echad because otherwise how could we trust anybody in Kashrus? How could I eat in your house or even in my own house? And then we have Tosus who attributes the source to V'Safala, which means that Anida counts Zayinikim, and her husband will rely on her that she her testimony is correct, that she in fact did count Zayinikim. So these are the different sources for Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. But now we have the following question. Gerishin, we said, is a Davash Be'erva. And we have a principle, Ein Davar She'Be'erva Pachos Mishnayim. As we said before, we need two witnesses. And yet, the first sugya in Masechta Gittin tells us that a shliach can bring a get from Medina Sayyom, and he testifies about the get, Befanei Nechtav, Ubefanei Nechtav, that the get was written Lishma, and then he could go ahead and give the get. So the Gemara asks right away, V'libay Tre, meaning you have Yakol Eidiyah Shabbat Torah, meaning this should be a classical case of Dover Shebe Erva, and this get is going to be Matir Neshesish. We need full-fledged testimony in order to be Matir Neshesish. And the Gemara answers, Eidech and Nembisurin. How do we understand Eidech and Nembisurin when we're talking about a case of a Dover Shebe Erva? So we have to assume that the get itself, unless we have questions about the get, is presumed to be kosher. And why is that? Because we have a principle of Reish Lakish that Eidem Achsum Al Shtar Nasa Kamisha Nechkarei Dusa Bebezdi. But the Chachamim required an extra proof, because when it comes to a get, it's not enough that the witnesses sign the get. We can authenticate the signatures of the witnesses, but that doesn't prove that the get was written Lishma. And not only that, in Medina Sayyam, they weren't such Bekiyim, they weren't so knowledgeable in the laws of Lishma. So the Erechad, in this case the Shliach, is going to be believed to remove that Chashash that maybe it wasn't written Lishma. That's called Erechad Nem Bisurin. However, the Gemara indicates that Erechad Bisurin only applies if Lo is Chazek Lisura. For example, if you have a piece of meat, and you don't know whether the piece is chelev, which is aser, or shuman, which is mutter, and that's also the Gemara you'll see in Yevamos. So in two places, both in Get, in Gittin, and in Yevamos, the Gemara says that when do we believe an Eidecha that's only lois chazik yisur? Meaning we have a suffix here, we have no idea what is the identity of this piece of meat. Eidecha could tell me it's shuman and we're allowed to eat it. That's because it's lois chazik yisur. But if it's chazik yisur, for example, let's say we have a piece and we know for sure that it's chelev, and now the Eidecha comes along and says that they removed the chelev and now the piece is aser. I'm sorry, now the piece is mutter. So what do you have here? You have a piece of meat that has chelev in it. Now the Erechad says, no, we removed a piece of chelev and therefore what's left is shuman. So Gemara establishes that he's not believed. Erechad Nebisur doesn't apply against the cheskas isur. So again, when we're dealing in the level of nemanis and we don't have edus, now Chazakah becomes a very powerful instrument. If you're talking about two Eidim, the Torah believes two Eidim even against the Chazakah. And that the classical case of that would be at Eishes Ish, the Eidim testify that she received her get. But now that we've lowered our standards to Nemanus, we're no longer in the getter of Eidus, the Gemara says that within the process of the power and the authority given to Nemanus, we have something called the Chazakah. And a chazakah is even more powerful than the nemanus of one eid. Now, is that so? Well, let's see how we paskin. Let's fast forward to page 3. And here we have the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of page 3. And the Mechaber writes in Yoredeya Simon Kuf Chof Zayin, Eirecha Nemen Bisurim Lahatir, then Nechad is believed to be Matir. And then he writes Avolo Lahachmir. Okay, we'll see what that means. And then the Ramah adds a long, long addition here. We're going to only focus on part of it. He writes Kol Dover Shalo Ischazek Lo Lehetir V'lo Le'isur Eid Echad Nemanolav. We don't know whether it's Usur or Mutter. It's a pure Safek, 50-50. Then the Eid Echad is believed. And if the Erech is believed, says the Ramah, is believed in both directions, either Lahatir, to say it's Mutter, or Lesar, to say it's Asur. However, Kol Hechad is Chazek Dover B'Isur, we have Tevel, or we have a piece of meat, and the Chelev has not, or the Giranosh has not been removed from the meat, then we have a Cheskas Isur, is Ein Ha'Ein Nemon Latiro. You cannot rely on one witness to say that he was Mafish Truma and he removed the Isur Tevel, that he was Menakir as a Gid, and he took out the Gid, and now it's no longer Asur. So what does this mean? I mean, we've seen all these cases where an Eid Echad is believed. Amongst them, Rashi quotes in the beginning of Gittin, Hafrashas Truma. Hafrashas Truma itself, says the Rabbah, is Eid Echad against the Cheskas Isur, because there was a Cheskas Tevel, and now the Eid Echad wants to remove the Cheskas Tevel. How can we rely on one Eid? Eid Echad is not believed against a Chazakah. So here's where the Rambam adds a whole new dimension into the equation, and that's called biyado. Ellen Cain writes the Rambam, biyado litakno. In other words, let's say the case of a zava, the safra law, the case of shechita, where the shochet tells you that he shechted properly, the case of Afrosh's truma, where he testifies that he took off truma. All these cases that we discussed are all cases where the Eid Echad is testifying against a Cheskas Iser. Before the Shechita, the Behemah B'chayah B'cheskas Iser Omedes. And before the Afrashas Truma, it's got a Cheskas Iser Tevel. And before she counts Zayin Nikim, she has a Cheskas Iser Zava. Why do we believe Eid Echad? And the answer is, says the Ramah, because it's Biyado L'sakno. That the person himself or herself has the ability to remove the Iser. And he goes on to say the Rambam, if you fast forward a few lines, Isha ne'menes bedvar isur lo entikantiv. In the case of Eid Echad ne'bisur, which has the additional ne'menes of biyado, then we believe not only a man, but even a woman. Because she could say that she did what she had to do in order to take out the toloim, in order to be menaker asagid, in order to be mafresh truma. Even in shechita she should be believed. Again, I don't know if we can appoint her as a shochet, that's a different question, but if she shechted, then certainly the meat is kosher, and she's believed to testify about the shechita. So all this is true. Then rule number one is that Eid Echad nem bisurim in a case of suffolk. Rule number two is Eid Echad is not believed against the cheskas iser. But rule number three is that if the person who's testifying has it biyado, he has the ability to change and remove the isur, that's called takonas isur, then we believe the person of biyado even against the testimony, even against the cheskas isur.
And we don't say nogeya bedover?
And we don't say nogeya bedover because, again, nogeya bedover is only a psul kurva of a karov, but when it comes to nemanus, adarabba, a person is neman to testify to any one of the members of his family, and there's no psul of kurva, and therefore there's no nogeya bedover. Again, there may be cases where we don't want to rely on someone because we believe they're lying. That's all different. That's not a nogeya bedover, that's called a chashash sheker. Then there are my adds one more point here, which I wanted to add to our discussion. He says, "Avol b'safek shema einkan iser kagon shetzricha levar dogim tmei mitahorim." He says, "Then ain't our isha nemenes? She's not believed. So what does this mean? Why is levar dogim tmei mitahorim different than the classical case of Eid Echad Neman B'Isur?" So in order to answer that question, we have to see a sugya in Masechet Pesachim, which I think you have here on page 2. And that's the sugya of Bedikas Chametz. And what happens in the case of Bedikas Chametz? Just give me a second to find the page. The Gemara says on the top of page 2, which is Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Boy Minei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Maskir Bais L'Chaver Bar Basar Cheskaso Baduk O Ein Cheskaso Baduk. So there was a renter who rented out his house on the night of Yudalet, and then there's the person, the socher, who's living in the house. And the question is, can the socher assume that the maskir, the owner of the house, did the bedika? So the Gemara says, L'Shaile, let's just ask him, and he'll tell us whether or not he did the bedika. And it means that we could trust him on this testimony that he did the bedika, because Eid Echad nem bisurin. Amar Amalu Rav Nach Bar Yitzchak Nisua Hakol Ne'emanim Al Birchom. It's Afilu Noshim, Afilu Avodim, Afilu Ketanim. So it means that we believe a woman on Bedikas Chametz. Why? Because Eidecha Neman be suited. And then the Gemara later on in Daf Dalet Amud Beis says that you know why we rely on a woman to establish that she did the Bedika? That's because Midoraisa Bebitul Bial Masagi, which means that there is no Iser on this bias on a Doraisa level. The whole problem is the Rabbanah required Bedika, because Midoraisa Bitul is enough. And then the Gemara says, "Hemnu Rabbanon, neither Rabbanon." That since Bedikas Chametz, the whole institution, is only Dirabbanon, therefore we believe the Chachamim invested in a woman the credibility to say that she did the Bedika. So l'chora, I don't understand this whole sugya here, because Why do you have to tell me that it's the Rabbanon and the special principle of Hemnu Rabbanon Bid Rabbanon? Why not just simply say Eid Echad Mem Bisurin, which according to Tosfos, as we saw earlier, the source of which is V'Sofra La. So certainly a woman comes under the credibility of Eid Echad Mem Bisurin, and the answer is going to have to be that there's a Cheskas Isur. But why is there a Cheskas Isur? Because since no Bittul was made, if no Bittul was made, then we're dealing with a Cheskas Isur Doraisa, because if there's no Bittul, then if there's Chometz in the house, you violate two Lavin Doraisa while you're Abayim Motze. Okay, fine. So there's a Cheskas Isur. Now, what does the Gemara say? Well, it's after Bittul. Fine, it's after Bittul. And now it's the Rabbanon. Frektosvis, I still think a woman should be believed. And why is that? We just established in the Ramban Shulchan Aruch that a woman is not believed against the Cheskas Isur. But the answer is, says the Ramban, she's believed when it's Biyado. Here too, it's Biyado. She could make the Bedika, so why shouldn't she be believed to say that she made the Bedika? Why does the Gemara have to come on with this new category, a special license, you know, that we grant to women to be believed on Bedika's Chametz? Forget about that. I don't need Hemnu Rabbanon Bid Rabbanon. All I have to say is Biyado. So if you look at Tosis, Divra Maskel Hemnu, he says, V'afagav the kol dovashu biyodah mehemnon luhu l'noshim v'avodim afilu b'doraisa. The Gemara doesn't even need to say that it was after Bittul. Even if it was before Bittul, there's an emonis of Eidechad b'isurin in the case of biyodah, even against the Cheskas Isur. And he proves it from a Gemara in Ksuvis, Machilos Hoshedim Usar. In other words, the husband relies on his wife to testify that she removed Tevel, she removed the Isur Tevel by being Mafrish, Trumas and Maisris, even though it's against the Cheskas Isur. And the answer is because it's Biyado, because she could go ahead and be Mafrish the Trumas and Maisris. But Tosis says, here it's different. Why is Bedikas Chometz different? On the third of the wide lines, the Ika Tircha Yisei Rasa, V'tzarech Digduk Gadol. And then he quotes the Yushalmi, which I'd recommend that you... This is one Yerushalmi you don't want to share with your wives. Mipnei shenoshim atzlonios hein. Now, I'm not sure what he means by noshim atzlonios hein. I would have said the opposite, that the men are the atzlonios. I don't know. But but whatever it is. So anyway, what do you see, first of all, from Tosas before we get into the question of noshim atzlonios hein? You see that the halacha of Nemanis Biyado is a very limited halacha. When is it Biyado? When there's no Tirchi Yisera, it's very easy to implement the action and remove the Isur, that's called Biyado. But if it's complicated, there's a Tirchi Yisera, that removes the Nemanis of Biyado. Again, you're going to have to ask the question, so why is a man believed on Bedikas Chametz? After all, it's against the Cheskas Isur, and you have to believe him because of Biyado. So why not apply the principle of Tirchi Yisera? It's really hard. By the way, you see one thing from the sugya. Tosis is assuming they didn't just put out 10 pieces of chametz and end it. You know, let's just find the 10 pieces, make a big joke out of it, a big fun thing. It was really a very serious bedika. So I once heard from my Rebbe, he said, I didn't really understand what it means, atzlonios hein, until the following story happened. he said that his father was doing a bdikas chametz, and there was an attic, and it was quite complicated to climb up to the attic. So Rabbi Yishai Soloveitchik turns to little Yosha Bear and says to him, "You go climb up the attic." So the Rav admitted he didn't do such a good job. He was an atzlan. What's the deep psychology of an atzlan? Why do you get lazy? When somebody pawns off upon you, you know, a chiyuv that they're obligated in, this was the Baal Bayis' chiyuv, and he tells you to do it, then if it has a tirchi yisera, you know, you look for all sorts of ways of cutting the hedges here. And in the case of Bedikas Chametz, the primary chiyuv was established and imposed upon the man of the house, the Baal Bayis, and not on the woman. If the woman is doing the bedika in the absence of her husband, then she feels that she's not really the bar chiyuva. She's not the primary obligation, and therefore there's atzlonius. In any event, getting back to our discussion, we're trying to figure out the parameters of Eid Echad and Bisurin, and when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So we have the following chiddush here in Tosfos and Psachim, that when a bayis has a chazaka, that it has chametz in it, and we don't know that a bedika took place, then we should not believe an isha, because one eid is not believed against a cheskas isa. But the answer is that since there was bittul, and now we reduce the level of the mitzvah from a doraisa down to drabbanon, hemnu rabbanon bin rabbanon, the rabbanon made a special exception here, and they believed in isha. So Tosfos asked, well, why do you need a special exemption and a special law, an exception to the general rule? Why not just apply the rule of biyado? And Tosfos answers that we don't apply the rule of biyado in the case of a tircha yisera. This is all as far as Eid Echad Nem and Bisurin is concerned. We're beginning to get a little picture of how it works, but we have to keep in mind that ein davar shebe'erva pachos mishnayim, and we have a gigantic machlokus rishonim about the case of Ein Dover Sheba'erva Pachos Mishnayim, where there's no Cheskas Isur. Because again, the primary paradigm case of Dover Sheba'erva is to change the status of a person. She was an Eshashish, now you want to tell me she's a Grusha and she's Muteres Linase. That's called smack up against the Cheskas Isur. That's called a Dover Sheba'erva. In the case of Dover Sheba'mamon, Reuven has Mukzakas, he possesses, you want to now take it out of his possession, that's against the Chazaka, and therefore you need two witnesses. What would be in a case of a Dover Sheba'erva, or a Dover Sheba'mamon for that matter, that doesn't have a cheskas isur? If there was no cheskas isur, we simply don't know. We don't know if she was married or she wasn't married. In that case, lechora, one could argue that Elechad would be Neman. It's no longer Dover Sheba'erva, because the Dover Sheba'erva implies a certain cheskas isur erva. But here we don't know whether she did get married, she didn't get married, or she got a divorce, she didn't get a divorce. In all those cases, when there's a suffix begufo, then we could possibly rely on the testimony of one witness. And what is the source for possibly relying on the testimony of one witness, even if it's nogea to a davar shebe'erva? So this is the Gemara on the bottom of your page 1 in Masechta the Kiddushin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, Nemenes Chaya. Chaya is what's called in modern Hebrew Mialedes. I think in English, is it called a midwife or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Lomar, she can testify, Zeh Kohen, meaning that this child was born from this marriage to a Kohen, or he's a Levi, he's a Nosin, he's a Mamzer. Wow, if we don't know the yichus of a child, she's believed to say that the child came from another person other than the mother's husband. So the mother's been married for a long time, and the Chaya claims that this child is a mamzer. This is not the child from this couple. Again, you have to figure out exactly how the Chaya knows such a thing. And the Gemara says that here's a case where a Chaya is believed even on what would normally be considered davar shebe'erva. You know, to establish that someone cannot marry into Kal Yisrael because he has the status of a mamzer, that should be a classical case of Davar Sheberv. Then the Gemara goes on to say, which even further complicates our understanding. Bamedvar Mamurim, when do we say that the Chaya is believed? Shalo Kara Aleha Shame Irur. Avakara Aleha Irur Eina Ne'emenes. So what does this mean? That the Chaya loses her credibility in a case of Kara Aleha Irur. So for that we have to take a look. What's an irur? So let's look on page 4 to figure out what an irur is. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Eben Ezer, Simon Dalid. And it says the following. Nashim sheyoldu v'bayis echad. In other words, let's say in a hospital, I mean, today, of course, you have a delivery room. There's only one woman in each delivery room. But let's say we had a metzius of two women giving birth in the same room. And one of them is an Ashes Kohen, or an Ashes Levi, or an Ashes Yisrael, or a Mamzer. Ne'emenes ha'chaya lomar ze'a ben Kohen hu, o Levi, o Mamzer. Says the Mechaber, that's only because of Ibnei Shalom Huchzak. We don't know if this child belongs to this woman or to that woman. They ain't on a Yodim Yichuso. So we cannot identify the lineage of this baby. In such a case where there's no Chazaka, is then she's believed. Fine. Not only that, we need a second condition. Huchzaka Ne'emenes. We know in the past that she's been very honest about it. So she has a very good record, and we have no reason to suspect that she's lying. But then the Mechaber adds a third condition. V'lo irer oleha adam. Aval im irer oleha filu echad v'omar. Oh, now we get the answer to Yechiel's question. What is an irur? V'omar, that somebody said, b'sheker me'ida. That this woman is perjuring herself. She's lying. Is eino ne'emenes. So this is really interesting because this adds a whole new dimension to that discussion about Eidech and then Bisurin. If Eidech and then Bisurin applies to the case of a Chaya, because she's in charge of delivering the babies, it's almost like Biyada, you know, that she's going to assign the baby to the right mother, then why should we have doubts about her credibility? And the answer is because someone is out there who's saying that she lied. So if that's the case, that's called Kara Aleha Irur, and she loses her credibility. So the credibility of a Chaya, which would seem to be paradigmic of Eidech and Bisurin, is contingent on the fact that she has no question, there's been no doubt or aspersion that was cast on her credibility. And you'll take a look in the Rambam, which I believe is on the same page. Let me just make sure. Is there a Rambam on that page? Okay, I'm not finding the Rambam right now. But the Rambam adds a clause here, Mipnei Shalo Huchzak. Now what does that mean, Mipnei Shalo Huchzak? We said that there's a machlokes rishonim about a davar she'erva when there's no Cheskas Isur. And the Rambam, when he explains why a Chaya is believed, he adds Mipnei Shalo Huchzak, meaning there's no Cheskas Isur. If there's no Cheskas Isur, then despite the fact that we're dealing with a Dover Shebe'erva, like the case of a Mamzer, for example, can he enter into Kahal Yisrael? We believe one aid. Why? Because in a Dover Shebe'erva, if there's no Cheskas Isur, then one aid is believed. Now again, I'm not telling you that everybody accepts this approach, but it's a pretty fascinating and far-reaching conclusion to say that an Eid Echad could be believed in a Dover Shebe'erva as long as there's no chazaka against the aid. So, for example, if we go back to the Gemara in Gittin about b'farei nechtam, where the aid is testifying on the lishma, the get, maybe it means that although we're not 100% sure that they wrote the get properly out back there in Bavel, in Medina Sayyam, wherever the get came from, but nevertheless, there's no chazaka to assume that the get is possible. On the contrary, you have two eidim signed on the get. The shliach is coming to strengthen our assumption that the get is kosher. He's not going up against the cheskas isur. And therefore, the chayo who's telling us, well, we don't know if this baby belongs to her and it's a kohen, and he's a kohen, it belongs to her and it's a levi, etc., etc. Here we have a pure safek. There's no chazaka against the isha one way or the other. Therefore, she's believed as a chayo b'toras eirech enem bisurin. But as we said before, when it comes to eirech enem bisurin, we have to know for sure that the person has credibility. If we have reason to suspect that maybe they're lying, we don't trust them. And we had the case of Bedikas Chametz, where the Yerushalmi says that if not for some special dispensation that we give to an isha, she's not believed to testify in the Bedika. The normal principles based on Eirech HaNem Bisurin, she should be believed. The answer is the Tircha Yisera. Here also, if you have an Iruah where someone gets up and he says that I know that this woman is a no good darn liar, then we have a question as to her credibility. And in such a case, Eirech HaNem Bisurin is very flimsy. You know, it, like for example, in Shnei Eidim, if you want to tell me that this aid is possible, that he perjured himself, you need testimony. You can't just start accusing a person. But in Eirech HaNem Bisurin, since we're relying totally on the credibility of a person, we have to make sure that that person has credibility. Now, we have two statements of the Gaon Mivilna. One you'll find on page 4, and that's a statement in Choshen Mishpat. And he writes that the reason why we trust a Chaya is not the way we said it before, based on the Rambam, that there's no Chazak against her, and therefore it's an Eirech HaNem Bisurin, and her credibility is Doraisa. So says the Gaon, Takonas Chachamim hi. Why? Lefisha Ein Shom Anoshim. And basically what he's saying, and we saw a little bit of this, the flow of this in the Rashi and Gittin that we said before, you know, how could anyone eat in anybody's house, or even in their own house, unless Eirech HaNem Bisurin? It sounds like there's a Takonas Chachamim going on here, says the Gaon, that we have to rely on the Chaya, because she's alone in the delivery room. Meaning, who's there? No one else is there. We don't have any men around. We don't have any witnesses around. So they made a Takonas Chachamim to believe a Chaya. That's according to Gaon in Choshen Mishpat. And there's another statement of the Gaon in explaining the Trumas HaDeshen. The Ramah, back on page 4, quotes the Trumas HaDeshen, and he writes that Isha Psula Lahaid.
So,
what does that mean? Yeah, sorry.
How are you going to? How does the Gaon say that? I mean, why don't you use that kind of logic in every case in which there's no man around? If he's going to use that to kind of,
I don't know, but I'm just telling you, Joe. You know, how do you determine who's the mother of the child? You know, you got it.
I know. I understand. But that concept, because there isn't a man around, any case, then use that kind of logic in any case where there's no.
The Gaon doesn't mean that it's... The Gaon's not saying there's a specific situation or a scenario where there's no men around. The Gaon is saying that when children are born into this world, no one's around to clarify. That's built into the reality of every of just about every birth.
So the Takana is because that in every situation like this, there's no men around. Therefore, they've made the Takana in this case.
Yeah.
But because, another case where
yeah, if there happens to be a situation where there's no one around, then we're not going to give someone credibility when they don't have credibility. Again, because keep in mind, the Gaon understands that when you testify about a child as to what the yichus of the child is, that's a davar sheb'erva. That requires two witnesses. So the Gaon is racking his brains to try to figure out why a Chaya is believed to establish that this guy, this kid's a Mauser. How can you say such a thing? So Dovash Bereva. So the Rambam had his answer, namely that there's no Cheskas Isur, and if there's no Cheskas Isur, it's not a Dovash Bereva, it's a Dovash of Isur. The Gaon never bought into that. He held that a Dovash Bereva always remains a Dovash Bereva, with or without an out of Cheskas Isur. It's a Suffolk, but it's a Dovash Bereva. You need to wait it. So Vusef is, how can we believe a Chaya? It's a special Takonis Chachavit. And the reason for that Tanis Chacham is that's built into the nature of Jewish society, that you'll never be able to determine the yichus of a child because we don't have witnesses, you know, like here in Israel, you know, we have security people that have to make the rounds, you know. So now we should set up security people to make the rounds in the hospitals. You know, the best person for that job would be the mole himself. You know, here in Israel, I don't know how it is by you, the mole is always there, like 5 minutes after the birth. He gives you your car, his car. Yeah. So they would be a good candidate to solve the Gaon's problem of how you can ever determine who it is. But the Gaon says that we don't have anyone to know. So the Rabbanah made a takana that we should rely on this Chaya. David?
You know, with halacha today in modern age, would that rely on DNA evidence against the Chaya or not? That's scientific. I mean, it's not Avis, but it's still,
yeah,
you know what's going on.
I saw an article on that question. I don't remember his final conclusion. I think he says that in such a case, the DNA testing will win out. And it's written by Rav Avram Steinberg. It's called the Nishmas Avram. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
If you ever have to prepare a shiur on anything that's nogeda contemporary medical ethics, that's the place I would send you to go. My son, the doctor, you know, Baruch, he doesn't go anywhere without his Nishmas Avram. He carries around the sefer, you know. In any event, if you take a look at the Ramah on page 4 in Choshen Mishpat, he quotes a Trumas Adeshen, which seems to say something pretty way out. And the Trumas Adeshen says that an isha psula lahayid v'takanas hakadmonim hi to b'makom she'ein anashim regilim lios, in a situation or in a place where we don't expect men to show up, then it's a takanas chacham that nashim ne'monos lahayid. So I don't know exactly what the case is. Maybe he's talking about a Dover Sheba Erva without a Cheskas Isur, or maybe he's talking about a case of the Nemonis of Biyodo, but he comes to some way out conclusion here that whenever we have a situation where we don't expect men to be there by the nature of the situation, the nature of the place, that we need to invoke some sort of a Takonis Chachomim to grant a woman Ne'emonis. So this part I don't really understand. He says that Kol Elu Apsulim, right, because the Machaber says in Hilchos Eidus, that's Choshen Mishpat Tzimu Laman Hei, Isha Psula, that a woman is disqualified for Eidus. He says Kol Elu Apsulim, Psulim Afilu B'mokum Lo Shchicha Noshim Kshem Lo'ayin. He says that according to the strict din, even in situations where we don't expect men to be around, we cannot rely on an aid apostle like an isha. But kol zemidina, that's according to the strict letter of the law. Val yesh omrim, this is the Trumas Adeshen, the takonis kadmonimi, the v'makom she'ein anoshim regilim lios, kegon v'beis hakneses shel noshim, I guess what he means is the Ezra's noshim, So let's say you have a women's clothing store or in department stores they have the ladies' clothes section, right? And generally speaking, there are no men around, certainly not in the changing room. So they found a beggar in the changing room, and you know, they don't know who it belongs to. So in Choshen Mishpat laws, to determine the ownership, we would need an Eid Kasher and an Isha's Psul Lahoy. But here there's a Takonis HaKadmonim that we rely on an Isha to testify in a place where Anoshim are not to be found. That's the Ramah. The Gaon came 2 centuries later, and he applied that same logic, the same structure, to the case of a Chaya. To explain, why is it that we trust the Chaya in a Dovish Be'erva? And the answer is because it's Takonas Chachonim, because there are no men to be found, that we should rely on the women. So Rav Bosei comes out like this. As far as we have it today, it means the following. Women are believed in a case of Eid Echad Nem Bisurin, even against the Cheskas Iser, if it's Biyadam. However, the exception to that rule is going to be either a case of Dovr Shebe Erva, or a case of Dovr Shebe Mamon. In those cases, women could not be believed. Or a case of a woman against the Cheskas Iser, where she doesn't have Biyado. Or alternatively, even if she has Biyado, if it's a Tircha Yisera, or if Karolea Irur, then we have doubts about her credibility. In the case of Abayis Shuba Cheskas Eino Boduk, would she be believed to establish that it was Boduk? And the answer is, Mikra Adin, she's not believed, because it's a Tircha Yisera. And that's the Nosham Atzlonius of the Yerushalmi. Lamaisa, the Chachamim said, Hemnu Rabbonim Bid Rabbonim. They made a special takana to believe a woman, even though it's a tircha Yisera. Now, there's a gigantic issue. It's one thing if a woman testifies that she did the Bedika in her own house, but can she testify that somebody else did the Bedika? That becomes a lot more complicated. But let's just talk about kashrus laws, because that was the original topic and we don't have too much time. Number one, is a woman to be believed in Bedikas Toloim? The Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Marshal on page 2 of your Mar Makomos, is of the opinion that Bedikas Toloim is a Dover Sheyesh Bo Tircha. And if it's a Dover Sheyesh Bo Tircha, that a woman should not be believed. Comes along the Shach, and the Shach appears in Simon Pei Dalet, and that's on page 5 of the Mar Makomos, and the Shach writes that if it's a Dabar Sha'asa Midaraisa, Ein Ha'isha Ne'menes B'Bedika She'esh Batircha, Kigon B'Dikas Kidneos V'dogim Ktanim. Now I'm not exactly sure what he's looking for in Dogim Ktanim. I guess there were little bugs that have to be removed, and certainly in the case of kidneys, of legumes, in the case of grains and so forth and so on, there are lots of bugs. You have to make sure carefully, meticulously to check, and we don't rely on women. But then the Shach says that now all this analysis is based on the Marshal of Shlomo Luria about 5 centuries ago, and the Shach writes Ein Hamino Kedivrei Marshal. He quotes the Ramah, not the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah in another sefer which is called the Toras Chatos. And the Shach, quoting the Toras Chatos, the Ramah says Ein Hamino Kedivrei Hamarshal El Adnoshim Bodkos Kidneos V'Peros V'Somchem Alai. That halacha lemaisa, we do rely on the checking of a woman, even though it's against the halacha, because the Shach quotes Yerushalmi. I'm sorry, the Marshal quotes Yerushalmi to the effect that it's a davar sheyesh bo tircha, and therefore we don't know that this is a special takana. Maybe we could apply, you know, to some extent the ruling that we saw in the Ramon, the name of Truth Sadesha, that there was a takonas HaKadmonim. I don't know if there was, but you know, who's going to go around checking for kidney, you know, checking kidneys for toloim? Maybe we should rely on the women. We have no choice. But Lamaisa, the Marshal says that the minig is that we rely on women who make a bedika of kidneys and peros and check for toloim. Then he writes the Afal Gav the Bereiras Dogim Ktanim. Oh, now I begin to understand what he meant by dogim. I made a mistake before. I thought that there were bugs in the dogim. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where you catch like millions of fish, small little fish in a net, and some of them are kosher, some of them are not kosher. You really have to go through each one of the fish, one by one. And in such a case, the Rama says, Ein ha'isha nemenes. And the Rama quotes a principle called Noshim Daiton Kalos, which is the same as the Yushalmi that said that Noshim Atzlaniel said. But really what it means is that there's a Tircha Yisera. So the Marshal wants to say that there's a difference between checking kidneys and going through the little fish to find out which are kosher fish and which are not. What's the difference? He says that when you bring in the fish with a net, you know for sure that some of the fish are kosher, some fish are not kosher. That's called ischazek isura. But when it comes to checking fruits and grains or legumes, we don't know up front for sure that there are toloim there. And therefore it's not called cheskas isur. And if there's no cheskas isur, then we apply the principle of e'echa nem bisura, then we can even rely on noshim. And this takes us back to the original quote that we started with this year of Tosfos, that the source for e'echa nem bisura is the safala, and therefore it means that a woman is believed. If she's believed to say that she counted Zayin Nikiyim, then she's believed to tell us that there are no bugs in the kidneys. And the Darkei Tshiva, I pronounce it like the Hungarians because he was Hungarian, and he says that Ikar Ledina Kedas HaShach, that we accept the Shach, Umin Hagim Shal Yisrael Torahu, V'Somchin Al Bedikas Noshin, and we're going to rely on Bedikas Noshin. And that's called Minag Yisrael Torah. But that's not what I wanted to call to your attention. I like the next line in the Darkei Tshiva. He says, he said he had a choice. He would rather rely on the women folk than on the men. Why? The men are in a rush. They're in a rush. You know, they don't have time to do an adequate bedika. The women are much more careful about it, and they have the plenty of time. And he quotes the crazy placer of Yonason Amish. It's at the end of this whole presentation, Taki Tshuva writes, in the name of the Aruch HaShulchan, V'yameinu lo shamanu afilu al tzedike v'ga'one olam, sh'lo yismichu al nishoseyem v'inyone kashrus u'bibdikas toloim. He says, we have never found, even amongst the most pious families, that they don't rely on their wives to check for toloim and to establish the kashrus of the food. Zulas, he says, with the one exception, is Bibnos Yisrael Ovdos Eitzel Balebatim Beschirus. If a woman is being paid and hired and she gets wages for checking bugs and she's working in someone else's house, then he says, I'm not sure if we should be somech on the women. Ellen Kane Balabais Makirosa, the Balabais who knows that this woman is a Yirei Shamayim, and she's medakdekes bisurin, but otherwise, you know, she's getting paid. You know, she gets paid for per job. She's in a rush. She wants to finish and get paid. And we don't know whether or not we should rely on her. So therefore, we require that the Baal Bayis knows that she has a very good, reliable reputation. And then we can rely on the women. Now, if you get a chance, take a look at page 13. He gives you an overview, a sikum of everything that we did today. Just want to point out here in the Sefer Kashrus, he says the following. He says, "Kol ish o isha shegil gil mitzvus ne'emanim livdok mazon mitolay." So he paskins without blinking that any man or woman who's bar or bat mitzvah is believed as far as bedikas tolaim is concerned. But then he says the following. He says, "V'zos b'tnai sheyodim ketzad livdok." We have to make sure that the young adult knows how to check and how to recognize toloim and where to look for them. Katna ktana, below the age of bar or bat mitzvah, rashon livdok rak mazon she'eno muhsak bitolon. That's point number one. And then, if you take a look in Perek Chaf Gimel, which I'm looking for now, just one second. Can we find here Perek Chaf Gimel? Yeah, that was in Perek Yud Gimel. In Perek Chaf Gimel of the same Sefer, Sefer Kashrus, he writes, let me just open up the light here, we'll get a little extra light. He writes that Akeres Bayis Hachashuda Lechol Dvarim Asurim, if we're talking about a woman who we have suspicious of her that maybe she's not so meticulous about kashrus, then lechatchila ein lismochol le binyani kashrus, we would never trust her for kashrus ein lechol bimitbacha. Ukmochein akeres bayis she'ein a shomer Shabbos, if she's not a shomer Shabbos, ein ne'menes ala kashrus bimitbacha. Then he says, "Achein k'shaha ikeres bayis o krovas hamishpacha yeshara v'nemenes shelotachshil b'mirma mutar." We can eat in the house of someone, a relative, a woman who's straight, and she would never chas v'shalom b'machshil anyone b'mirma with trickery, and then we're allowed to mutar lechel etzla dvarim mutarim u'befrat. Okay, fine. That's all in a case of relying on an Akeres Bayis who is Yeshara V'ne'emana. However, Krovi Mishpacho Yedidim Shadayin Einam Shomrim Mitzvos U'mazminim Orchim U'mavtichim L'misarchim She'yavinu can't make out the next word. Sheachinu. Sheachinu avuram basar kosher lemahadrin. Is then, if you want to tell me that she, who herself, she's not religious, but she's guaranteeing that she's going to bring in mahadrin food on your behalf, then he says that im makirin bohem shelo yishakru, Mutal Lismoch al Divrehem. Again, all this is very contemporary, very relevant and complicated in the poskim, but at least according to the summary here of this book called the Sefer Kashrus, he paskins that you can rely on a woman even if she's not Shomer's Mitzvos, as long as we know that she would not lie, she doesn't fabricate the truth, we can be Somech al Divrehem. Yesh Babayis Gamkein Basar Sheinu Kosher L'Mahadrin. If in the house there are two types of meat, then he says we should be very careful about that case. Ein Lechol Shom Basar El K'sheroim Shehu Hutza Me'atifa Chatufa B'Kosher L'Mahadrin. If there are two types of meat in the house, then we have to see the actual package to make sure to guarantee beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is taken from the Mahadrin section. Fine. Now, a number of questions that we didn't address, for example, Bedikas Chametz, is the situation today a little bit different, that this principle that we saw about Noshim Atzlonios, can we say that in our day it's Noshim Tzidkonios, and they will clean very carefully the house for Bedikas Chametz, the Toreach B'Mitzvah, and we can rely on them. And the Tshuvas V'Hanhagos here on page 8 seems to say, yes, we can rely on them today, and therefore L'chatchila, we can appoint a woman as the Shliach for Bedikas Chametz. Another point about Eid Echad, Neman B'Surin. Can we appoint a woman as a Mashkiach Kashrus? The Igros Moshe seems to assume, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that Mi'ikra Din is no problem. He has two tshuvas about this. And he says, Eid Echad, Neman B'Surin, and therefore why should it be any different if she's a Mashkiach Kashrus? And he adds the fact that biyadahu shelo laniach lahachil dvar masurim, she now can supervise to make sure that no one is bringing into the hotel or whatever it might be, to the kitchen, dvar masurim. In addition, he says it's a case of lois chazik yisur. We don't know that there's anything non-kosher here in this kitchen. But he does raise the possibility that we don't appoint a woman for a tafkid when it has srora. Srora means there's a certain authority of a status of a position in an official appointee who's representing the tzibur. V'shem aminu isha kishmashkiach kashrus nechshav kisrora. Maybe this is exactly what is prohibited, for a woman to take on this official job representing the community in kashrus. That's a minigavra, that's a srora. However, he says, Lamaisa, you know what? The case that he was addressing was an almana. She had lost her husband, who was the Talmud Chacham. She needed a parnasa desperately, and he was mekil. However, if you take a look at the Shut Mishnah Halachos, which is CR number 9, he says that the Igros Moshe, when he was matir, he only was matir because of those particular circumstances that were very pressing in that scenario. But as a general rule, Chas v'Shalom, he says, L'shanos kabolas avosenu akdoshim lahamid noshim mashgichos. He's absolutely opposed to change the tradition of Israel and appoint a woman as a mashgiach kashrus. Raised the question before, earlier, if there's a cheskas iser and a woman would not be nemenes against cheskas iser, but she's believed because of biyada, does that mean she's only believed on herself, or can she testify on this iser, what had a cheskas iser, that somebody else was misaking the iser? And according to the Ravid, which is quoted on page 9, a woman would not be believed in such a case because the other means that she could do it herself. But if she's testifying about someone else, that requires edus, and a woman is possibly edus. Also, we discussed the following tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. We left out one point in Rav Moshe's tshuva that I think it pays to mention and emphasize, and that is that Rav Moshe writes, based on the Sugin Ksuvus, that if a father wants to rely on his children who are feeding him in their homes, and he knows that they're not shomrim kashrus midin, they're not up to par as far as kashrus, he can declare what's called kimli begaveh. In other words, when is a suffek? I don't know. I didn't see. I don't know. I have to take the credibility of someone else. And here, my own children are not reliable. They're not there's no credibility because they're not shomer kashrus. But there's something that goes beyond that. That's yedia, re'ia. If I saw something, I myself saw it, or I know about it. He says that itself doesn't require Eidechenem Bisurin. And if I know my son, and I know that he wouldn't be machshel me in any Isur, he's proven that in many occasions that he says to me, you know, Abba, be careful, blah, blah, blah. That's called Kimle Begaveh. And the father could say it's as if he saw and he knows that the food is kosher, and therefore you don't have to come on to the din of Nemonis. So that's a pretty breakthrough kind of sheet that has to be studied. By the way, if you're looking here at the Marim Makomos, there's a sefer called Ohola Shel Torah quoted here on page 10. He has a fascinating question about Yuchsin. We discussed earlier the Nemonis of Achaya on Yuchsin. What about the case of a fetus that the fertilization took place outside the body in what we call Hafraya, and it was a test tube baby? Can we accept, and what kind of nemanis can we rely upon to testify about the yichus, the parenthood of this eventually what will become a child? Right now it's in a fetal state, where, you know, who was the donor and whose sperm and egg was fertilized in this tube. Also, in a case of people who go to get invited to other people's houses, and normally he wouldn't rely upon them, but they absolutely swear that they're going to buy this, that they're going to serve this, they'll live up to his standards of kashrus. Can he rely on them? That's what we saw before in the Sefer HaKashrus. See, Ratzon may be his will that we fulfill all the dinim of kashrus. We rely on those who have them on us, who are credible, and no one should mislead us, chas v'shalom, especially because macholas asus mitamtamos es halev. We always have to be very careful about what we put in our mouth. We can rely on women for bedikas, toloim, baruch Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, Tarshish Re'eh. It should be another step towards the Nechemta of the Shiva, Nechemta. Amen.